Richard Hughes, Reel 5. So you were taken back to England?
Yeah, I came back. They took us, well, their hospital ship took us, the hospital train took us from Mestre to Hamburg. And then we were loaded onto a hospital ship at Hamburg. And then once they got us all aboard, we sailed that night. And the old thing about it was March. I remember then they were carried me up to the X-ray room from the what, and as I passed the passage either side, there was big hunks of ice floating down the North Sea. Well, I mean, I'd never seen that before. I seen there. Anyway, they gave me X-ray, and then from there, put me back in bed, and the ship docked in Southampton. And there was a ambulance there waiting. They must have known all the ins and outs of everybody. And they took me into Haslar. That was my first port of call. There they gave me the once over. 2 days later, we left her for a, well, what they called a cottage hospital, a clearance place in Sherborne, Dorset. And there, I went through several operations. But they patched me up pretty well in the end.
Were you able to stay in the Navy after that injury?
No, no, that was the swan song. No, they didn't. They discharged me as physically unfit for further service.
Can you describe that process of leaving the Navy? Can you describe the process of being discharged from the Navy?
Well, I mean, mine probably wasn't so much. I mean, it was a case of I didn't expect anything else, really. I wasn't sure. But you sit down there and you're... In fact, you were treated, or you were considered by the people who had been treating you, in a sure fact. And they had their little say-so, and then they turned around and said, well, they didn't tell me, but they told me afterwards. Discharged you a disability of 50%. So I carried on in Haslar for about 6 months after that, clearing up various things and do what. And then I was discharged proper. I went home.
What happened to you when you were discharged? The day you left the Navy, what happened?
The day I left the Navy was very simple, really. Say goodbye to all the nurses and the sisters. They were very nice and very good. And one or two close friends you'd made whilst you were in bed, because I was in Oxford 3 years. Yeah. And
3 years?
Yes, I came home from... Yes, it was 1946, the accident. I wasn't discharged until January of 1950. Although I was getting a bit of leave in between and that kind of, but I was still on the books at the hospital. Yeah. So, after that, it was... it was a different life entirely.
Did the Navy give you any help in finding a new job?
No. Probably could have been my fault. I did go and see my local MP up there. I was living in Anglesey then. and Kevin Hughes was the MP for Anglesey, the Labour. He didn't want much help, I'm afraid. But eventually, somebody stepped in and sent me to a government training scheme, which were relevant in that time. A lot of ex-servicemen went there, whether they were fit or not. It was over to Leicester to train as an instrument maker. Two contrasting efforts. But anyway, I had a good time there, the 6 months I was there. Of course, I met some good friends. But having said that, I don't think the instrument maker training did me any good. I finished up push of the pen. I got a job at the Royal Artillery in T. Croix there. Started off as a labourer, and then vacancies cropped up, and I knew one or two of the people there, and they knew that I was probably the only ex-RN local on the camp. But anyway, they treated me well, and I was a clerical assistant in the Remy workshop.
Did you miss anything about the Navy?
Oh, I did indeed, yes, really. But probably I had the right frame of mind. It was something I had to get over very quickly, otherwise my family was going to suffer. So I accepted this job in the camp as a labourer. Then a clerical assistant job came up in the equipment office. So I told them in the pay office I want that job. I got it too. But they were very good, and they understood. And then from there I got made a clerical officer. I went to work in the pay office. So I can't say that was, well, my ability, because I'd never worked in an office before. But anyway, I did. And then they decided that if they were to close our little camp up there. Of course, the interesting work was that now we had the old German V2 rocket, and they were testing it out up in that place. So it was very good. So, the next thing was trying to find somewhere else to work. They decided they were going to move because the rocketry they were using there was a bit dangerous in the short throat channel.
So you continued a career in administration, effectively?
Oh, yes, with the civil service, yes, indeed, yes.
Going back to your Navy days, are there any particular memories you have about HMS Rodney and any of the ship's company? Do you remember any names in particular?
Oh, well, I've got one or two. Yeah, I've got young, I was a leading hand down, Jack Parnell, he's a lieutenant commander now, he was went into the, he was a club swinger, and he went into the school at the same time as I went in, to the gunnery school. And there was a couple from which I met since then. They both live in Sheffield anyway, or Mictus. And he was in the next mess to me. I was in 24 and he was in 26.
So you still have some friends from those days?
Oh, yes. We were very fortunate enough that Ernest Beeston, he was the commander's runner, or the office, he set up the Royal Naval Association.
Any particular stories about anybody from the time?
Well, I don't think I can really, can't pinpoint anybody. not to say that it was worth remembering, if you know what I mean. We had never won a show, of course. The football team, that was probably one. There was a lot said about that. We played football in the States. There were quite one or two pictures of them. The local papers are full of it. But
do you remember anything about the lighter side of life? I mean, entertainments on board and things like that.
Well, see, on the Dorsetshire, that was more prevalent than anywhere else. After the wartime, I think it went off. But on the Dorsetshire, we had a good kick of jazz barrett. But they were good. But, well, that's the way you made your own entertainment. Especially if you did a long time at sea. But the Rodney wasn't much of that type. She was too big, if anything.
Do you remember any professional entertainers coming to do shows for you?
I don't remember. The only time I remember any professional one was they came in to wherever you were and they did it there. Sure. I mean, when we were in Sicily, when we put the troops ashore there was a party you were on there. And what's her name? Lancashire girl.
Gracie Fields.
She was in doing a turn on the one of the tours. So we all went ashore to watch her. It was something new for us. Yeah. But other than that, we missed out on the the band leader, he was down the south coast, so we never happened to catch up with him, the Yank.
Glenn Miller.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, were any of the ships you served on what you would describe as happy ships?
Happy ships? Well, I must admit, the Barnum, I was too young to wonder about that, so none no longer. Royal Sovereign, she was all right. And then the Dorsetshire, that was a very happy ship.
Why do you think that was? Why?
What, the Dorsetshire?
Why was it happy?
Oh, she was, you weren't there, she was. And we all realised we were a long way from home and now we mucked in and worked for each other. And it's Stuart. And it wasn't until we came home. And I went into the barracks to go for a couple of weeks and I was in for Rodney after that.
What about the Rodney?
Well, I can't say she was. I mean, I had a good time aboard her. I mean, I enjoyed the time I was aboard her. I mean, I was known for my football and known for that kind of thing. And I was put into the organisation pretty well. And got on with all the ship's company. I never had any argument with anybody. And that wasn't my nature at all. Well, I wasn't pretty big enough anyway. So, I would have, no doubt I would have re-engaged had I caught this lot up. But,
do you remember any particular naval traditions or customs? Naval traditions or customs from when you were in the Navy?
Well, they were looking at not time. And that was the biggest one, I think. But
tell me about that. The rum ration.
Well, since most of the time I was on grog, a aboard Rodney, as I said, but then that followed you around until it came, and then you elevated and you got under the meters, and of course you took your terror taking charge of the rumboat that was in the mess, and of course made sure nobody took two. Of course, you were lucky and you got what was left. So that was quite a thing. I don't know why they stopped that. Well, of course, I know it's just modern trend, I suppose. They stopped it. But it was still going when I was chucked out. I mean, I didn't get it out of here. Of course, I automatically stopped it once you go in dock. They stop it up.
What about when you crossed the equator? When you went to Hong Kong?
To?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, yeah.
Was there any ceremony crossing the equator?
No.
Crossing the line?
Pardon?
Crossing the line?
But the only thing that happened there, I think we lost one of the kings, didn't we? King George the VI. Whilst you were there, I forget when that was, we were. Yeah.
Ceremony when you went, you crossed the equator.
Who?
You crossed the equator.
Let's try that again.
You crossed the equator. I was asking
you
if you crossed the equator, and you said there was no ceremony.
Oh, there was. I've misunderstood what you said there. Yeah, there was a ceremony on that, on the Dorsetshire. That was. I think it was the older boys that made a fuss of that one, the Steve Burns blokes. But they were quite good. It was funny, they all dressed up. And we had old Neptune standing at the bows. And so, yes, there was a ceremony there. Yeah, yeah.
What did that happen? Did anything happen to you?
No. I did nothing about it. They wanted me there to catch me. But, there was one or two boys, they had the big... shavers and a big wooden razor, that kind of thing. But I think I was still the commander's runner then, so I was amongst the elite all the time. But the ceremonial side of it all seemed to die away. Towards the end of the war, and do what? But there's only one funny story. I was doing the Palestine patrol. We'd gone into Haifa to refuel. And of course, you had to have somebody patrol the deck all the time as a PO. And it was my turn to do this afternoon. And of course, I was walking around the deck, very weak. I see the little head bob up. And of course, there we were afraid of limpeteers. People wouldn't stuff on the side of the ship. We had to be on alert for that. So I seen the head off of it. Of course, what the hell was that? And I mean, that's what I was looking for. And of course, the guy came up again, and I already talked to him, just stuck his head on the water. He could have started to panic. That's it.
Since leaving the Navy, have you...
Oh, yes, now, well, we had this, the main thing was the Rodney Association, which was quite the biggest of all, I'd seen. We've been good out of the country, I used to go down to the Plymouth Barracks there, into Drake, into the mess, and meet lots of people there, as you said, and that was the best thing. But unfortunately, we had our last one up in York about 3 years ago. The members are all getting a bit older and they couldn't do it, so they didn't do it.
Thank you.